This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode in which we discuss a bonkers movie. And with us, we have Elby from Vincent Price's Laugh.
Hey.
And a good friend of ours, Monica.
Hello.
So, Elby, this was your idea, actually.
Yep.
Not to hijack my show, but to watch this silly movie.
Yeah, I wanted to watch this movie because I had only seen it a couple of times, and I thought it was really cool.
And you're right.
And just crazy.
Yeah.
And full of insane imagery.
Now, Monica, what did we just watch?
What did we just watch? Okay, The Last Dragon.
A martial arts champion in search of the glow.
Master, I need more time.
I am no longer your master.
A rock and roll star on the rise.
I know what it's like to lose precious things.
A madman.
Shogun of Harlem.
A maniac.
You're gonna put my video on your show, aren't you?
The answer is no.
Help! Somebody help me!
And the glamour, the power, and the sound of Motown.
I don't want you to kill anybody.
Are you out of your mind?
The Leroy Green I'm looking for is a little punk thinks he's a kung fu master.
I am no master.
You sure look like a master to me.
This is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. It's about the power of the glow. Timok Vanity. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, directed by Michael Schultz, a Motown Productions picture from TriStar.
We do watch The Last Dragon, and from what I remember, it's about a young martial artist. He's trying to, I guess, master his craft here and trying to attain something they call the glow.
Yeah.
And
I like that song.
Yeah.
Or actually, I don't really like the song now that I've heard it again after many years of not hearing it, even though I've seen this movie too many times.
Is that the Smokey Robinson one?
No.
No?
I don't think so. It's When You Got That Glow. But I thought the rap parts were really great as a kid, and I always remembered them incorrectly. So they're not actually rap parts, it just says, when you glow, you got to have the glow, when you glow, you got to
If you love to live, you live, you love hot, you gotta move to the upper level.
Shut up!
But that's in the movie, right?
Yeah.
It's okay, because I was just like, what? Oh, and I remember that song now. I remember the glow of like, oh yeah, that guy, I don't understand what he was saying.
It's like non-freestyle. He's not really good at it.
Yeah.
But he keeps saying glow. But anyway, so the Kung Fu Kid, what's his name?
Leroy Green. He also goes by Bruce Leroy.
Bruce Leroy.
Huge Bruce Lee fan. Obsessed about him, I guess.
Yeah, so Elby, you looked through, I guess, some history of the story.
Yeah.
Or of the making of it or something. What did you...
Well, first of all, the person who plays Bruce Leroy, his name is...
Timak.
T-A-I-M-A-K. He was actually just a martial artist and not an actor
whatsoever. No, he was 19 years old.
Yeah.
He was a boy. Okay, this is what you were noting.
I was like, who is he? I don't know him. I mean, I'm bad with actors anyway, but it's just like Timak. It was like one name, kind of like, he's like a Madonna or something?
Prince?
Madonna?
Yeah. He's like, the prince of the martial arts world.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
He actually learned to act on the set.
And you actually see it.
Yes.
So that's why.
That's why that one scene, he cries, and you're like, oh, that's solid.
But the rest, he's like a piece of wood.
Well, it's funny because his little brother is trying to teach him how to rap.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of part of it.
Right.
It's sort of acknowledging the fact that he sort of sucks as a jive-talking person.
We're assuming everybody knows what The Last Dragon is. It came out in 1985 in the heyday of the ninja movie and the break-in movie.
I wonder, I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I was born that year.
So. You're all okay. Wow.
No.
This is the cinema of the year of your birth. The ninja movie was gaining footing. The Bruce Lee movies had been around forever and were always popular, even after his death. 42nd Street, that's where the movie theater was, that they used that movie theater scene when Shonuff shows up for the first time.
Am I the meanest?
Shonuff!
Am I the prettiest?
Shonuff!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this time?
Shonuff!
Well, who am I?
Shonuff!
Who am I?
Shonuff!
I can't hear you.
Shogun!
Shogun of Harlem.
Oh.
That was actual 42nd Street Theater.
So that was like an adult theater?
A grindhouse.
Okay.
Not all movie theaters on 42nd Street were adult only. They were a mix of, that's what the Grindhouse is. So each theater, that's where they shot that. But anyway, the story is, boy is on a quest learning.
Well, he's trying to find the map.
Of his martial art, and his teacher tells him, go meet some Dumgoy. He's the master that you want to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's a converging story, and that's the music video.
Production company mogul.
Well, he's a video game guy who's getting into music.
I, Eddie Arcadian, am the video game king.
Oh.
Right? Arcade, right? So Eddie Arcadian is the bad guy. He wants to get his mistress into pop stardom. She's adorable and stupid and silly. The only way he sees that he can do it is to get Vanity, who's the VJ for...
What's her name in there?
Laura Charles.
Laura Charles to be... She's a VJ on her hit show, Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Which is not Seventh Heaven on the WB. Totally different show.
Totally different show.
A side note, how incredibly charming is Vanity in this movie? She just exudes happiness.
And that could have all been cocaine.
It could have.
Could have.
And at the time, I'm pretty sure it was. She was not in a good place in the 80s.
Who was she involved with? Prince?
Prince.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I was like, I only read like small bits about her and just being involved with Prince. And so it's just like, okay, was she like nervous or she's just like...
She was an actress. The Prince angle, I don't know how they got together. I think Vanity 6, he cast her as lead of a girl band called the Vanity 6, and he did that sort of project a lot, so then she just became, in the 80s, kind of a go-to for strange little movies.
Nasty Girl.
Oh, right.
I guess they were saying that, like, what was it, Purple Rain? She was supposed to be in
Apollonia.
Yeah, and like they cast someone who looked exactly like her because, I don't know, he was, I guess, obsessed.
I don't know about that either. Yeah, so she's the sort of the damsel in distress, but she's still a strong chick, and she's like, she doesn't do any fighting or anything, but she's always just like, well, what the heck? This is stupid.
All right, will you at least look at the videotape?
JJ, there is no point.
Laura, there is a point. The point of the knife, which is pointed at this point on my neck. He'll slit my throat if you don't do this for me. Come on, Laura.
What are you talking about, JJ? You in some kind of trouble? Who's gonna slit your throat?
Laura, this guy plays rough.
What? 30 seconds, Laura.
What guy?
Okay, tell me, JJ. Who?
Eddie Arcadian.
Who is Eddie Arcadian?
Eddie Arcadian is a very heavy dude who wants to have this videotape played in the worst kind of way. Come on, Laura.
Why don't you just call yourself a cop, okay? My life is not filled with all that craziness.
5 seconds.
Tell them
four,
you're whatever
three,
is
to forget two,
it. Arcadian.
Art one.
Oh, look.
I'm not doing it. And then the two stories converge. He's on his way to find the master, and then something happens, and he sort of rescues her.
It becomes a love story, which I think is the most interesting part of this film.
Not the glow. No?
I don't know. I was all about the glow.
I don't know.
So during his quest, right before the stories converge, we learn that there's a local martial artist rival, and he's got a gang, and that guy is Shonuff.
Shonuff?
The Shogun of Harlem.
Yeah.
Shonuff!
And that guy's hilarious.
It might as well be like the origin story for the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I mean, how they presented themselves. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh yeah, like, at least their interests align.
Yeah.
Because they introduce him in the Grindhouse while they're watching a Bruce Lee movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Lee was sitting there eating popcorn. And this is awesome. I love this. Some people start breakdancing or pop-locking in the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Some big guy gets up and smashes, mimicking what's on the screen, smashes the boombox to pieces. And then Shonuff comes in and he's like throwing his weight around.
Who said that?
I got him! I got him, Joe! I got him! Here you go, Joe! Here's the motherfucker!
Who's badder than the Shogun?
Bruce Leroy, that's who!
Bruce Leroy! That's the only guy that stands between show and total supremacy.
Yeah, and so then he comes up and tries to pick on Bruce Leroy, and that doesn't work. He's not intimidated by anything until his family gets roughed up.
Well, he's a master of trying to avoid the fight, and that's something that you talk about.
Yeah.
Because you took karate and...
I took karate.
Whoa, didn't know about this.
All right, okay. Hold up, back up. All right. I took karate when I was 13 or 14 years old. And I did have a sort of a karate kid kind of story. So I guess this is as appropriate as ever to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sensei who was this tallish, mulleted white guy who didn't really like my dad. And so he would pit me against like a brown belt. That's during practice and stuff. I would still somehow miraculously kick the brown belt guy in the face, and like it was a ooh, whatever. That's not the Karate Kid thing. Karate Kid thing is we went to my only tournament, and there's two of his top students, me and this guy Jay, and he picked me against a green belt. I was a yellow belt. I was supposed to test for my orange, and I hadn't yet, but he picked me against a green belt girl who's shorter than me. It's like we shouldn't even be against each other, but he picked me against her thinking that she's gonna wipe the floor with me, and she kind of does because I got one hit in and I hit her boob and she squeaked. These are light hits. This is not full contact. This is light contact. We have pads on and I hit her boob, which is legal, but she went eek, and I was like, oh crap. So my whole tactic then was to evade, and she got some hits in because I wasn't hitting her back. I could have made her squeak more, but I didn't want to. I'm just a kid and I'm told not to hit girls. So this really screwed me up. So that made me like the third prize trophy guy. But the Karate Kid part is my sensei wanted to really embarrass me and pit me against his top pupil, which is Jay, and do an exhibition match. So Jay and I are equally matched. We know all the same moves. We know when to use them and all that. So we're kind of mirroring each other throughout the whole match. We're equal, hit to hit, hit to hit. So there's one hit left. Third hit, whoever hits is the winner. I hit him in the balls, but it sounds like. Because we're wearing cups, right?
Yeah, okay.
That is hard balls.
That's not supposed
that's
to happen.
That's not what balls sound like. That's what the cup protector sounds like. But that's what you heard. It was resonant. It was like, all you heard was like the clothing, like whatever the cloth sounds. And then because my foot got there first and then he went, oh, right? He's protected. He's not hurt. But he went, oh. And then they're like, Andrew, turn and kneel. So I have to turn and kneel and face the judges and not pay attention to the possible damage I did behind me. And then they're like, over at Jay, seeing if he's all right. And he's fine. And they're like, contestants face the judges. Judges score. And they all scored me. And then Jay tried to give me his trophy at the end because he got the top trophy and I got the third place trophy because I made a girl squeak. And he hands me his trophy. And I'm like, no, because I know what this is about. You got that. This was an exhibition match. And so he was like humbled from that and whatever. It's my Karate Kid story.
Are those gonna be like more grand than that? Like, I don't know.
No. I didn't do a crane kick or anything. Yeah. There were no illegal moves.
But you know the philosophy of
the philosophy playing. Is if there's an altercation, try to not have the altercation. The altercation only happens when there is no other option. Yeah. And one option is always to walk away. Back off. You can look like a fool to anybody. Pride. It shouldn't enter into this. Just avoid the fight.
Show Enough doesn't want to avoid anything.
No, no, not at all.
So he's a self-proclaimed shogun of Harlem.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, so he's self, like, his own style. I don't know, is he really, like, just...
No.
It's just
kind he's of like the Darth... Streets. The Darth Vader of the streets, because he gets the red glow eventually.
Yeah.
Right? So he's learned something from somewhere, but from whom? We don't know. And it doesn't necessarily matter. There's some interesting things in this movie, though, about race.
Yeah.
You noticed.
So I did notice. Like, when right he gets just to Sumdum Goy, the cookie, the fortune cookie factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just noticed, like, the guys out in the front, like...
They're all Asian.
All Asian, trying to... They were kind of... There was a song.
Suki Haki Haki.
And so, their clothing as well. It was just...
It's all 80s like, hip-hop.
Yeah. So it was all, I don't know, black culture.
And they've appropriated the black culture while he's appropriated the Asian
culture. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also know, like, from his accent, like, does he really need to be... His whole family that, you know, was just like, whatever. But he had that, like, Asian accent or something. I don't know.
I am looking for the master.
Ain't no masters here, dude. Ain't no slaves either.
Is this not his fortune cookie factory?
The master, he doing his wisdom thing.
I seek only wisdom of the master.
You want wisdom? You buy a fortune cookie.
Take a hike, cool breeze.
Yeah, baby.
Please, I must see the master. It is very important to me.
Look here, chump. The master don't see nobody, especially no jive coolies.
Yeah, he don't see no one who don't know how to get down, baby. Right, you down. Dig, bro? You too square, man.
Square, dude. Well, let me say it so he can understand it, Jim. You go now. Chop, chop. Holy ass out of this place.
Like a asana pasta, you know?
Chow, baby. Avidus, baby.
Asana amigo. Sayonara. Catch you on the flip-flops.
Yeah, I was reading this. This comes from his really cool little brother calling him weird all the time and trying to get him to.
I love his insults. I don't know if they're racial epithets, but they are all descriptors of him being goofy Asian sort of knockoff. Yeah. Really funny insults.
Henry Lloyd!
I'm being held captive till the Cooley Mooney kid comes down from the roof. He's becoming one with his brain again. I'm telling you, Pop, the boy is off it. Stupid old clothes won't mess with no babes. I can't help it if he's weird. You weird, man, really weird.
I would like to see him.
Walking fortune cookie?
I would like to see him.
You're too weird. You sit on your head so long, you're broken.
Little fried rice head, you. Chill out, chopsticks.
Right, okay, I'm full disclosure, I'm a white person.
From Tennessee.
So I'm not an authority on any of this. But what it represents is the idea within the Black community or the Asian community or the Hispanic community of someone not being Black enough, not being Mexican enough, not being Asian enough.
And in the rightest of right-wing white stuff, you're not white enough.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
the
so.
Whole city folk, city boy thing. If you come from a city.
Yeah, okay, I hadn't thought about that.
If you come from a city and you go into the deep south or the really right-wing up north, they see you from the city and they're like, oh, you Mr. Educated, city
right,
boy.
Right.
So that's a similar sort of thing. Well, it's not really good for anything.
Right.
In this, they're actually satirizing it. Because this movie is a satire. And it's a straight up kung fu movie, sort of. With not a whole lot of kung fu.
Yeah.
But it's thematically like that. But it also has more so about popular MTV and music culture at the time.
Yeah.
Their perceptions of how these folks were. And that brings us to Berry Gordy.
Berry Gordy.
The producer of this is Motown's Barry Gordy.
Yeah, that's why when you said Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Like, what did he have to do with this?
Yeah, what did he have? I mean, I figured it was just a lot of money into it or something. It's just the name to get a lot of people into it because it's like he didn't direct it. He didn't do anything other than just like...
He threw money at it and provided
the music
for the movie. And like vanity is probably part of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the music... I mean, because of the soundtrack, I'm like, there's a whole lot of like huge kind of
yeah,
like
I mean, Smokey Robinson and
Stevie Wonder.
Steve Perry
was involved in the soundtrack.
Yeah.
All the Steves.
Yeah. How funny is that Vanity song, the Seventh Heaven song that she sings?
She's the weirdest. Okay, that song is like a pop song, but it's also like a whispery, creepy song. She turns into a vampire vocally.
That guy's like talking throughout
that guy.
Like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So yes.
We forgive you.
So it's Vincent Price. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that, but she was the elevator. She was just weird. It was just bizarre. What were her choices? And like I said, cocaine, I think, enters in a lot with the weirdness of the 80s.
Yeah, and the dancing along with it was kind of throwing me off too because there's a lot of like arm flailing. And
oh, yeah, she did like the Shiva sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's all arms and upper body. So
all the martial arts stuff in the movie was choreographed by this guy, Ernie Reyes Sr. Probably don't know much about it. Albie might have come across it, but Ernie Reyes Sr. has a son. His name is Ernie Reyes Jr. That's the little boy that does all the chop-socky stuff in the big fight sequence.
Mm-hmm.
He's not introduced except for when he lets out Johnny.
The key! Put
the key to the latch in front of
him! And Price!
What's that?
Okay, you can come out now!
Come on, let's go!
Where are we going? We already missed the second show.
Just come on.
Okay.
One of the greatest supporting characters in cinema ever, I think. Johnny Wu.
Oh,
Johnny,
I was like, Johnny.
Wu.
Johnny
He's
Five?
Like, and so he gets locked by Timex. He gets locked in the weapons closet because every dojo has a weapons closet. No, not true. Like ninja stars all over the place. Not throwing knives.
If you go, I go.
Okay. Okay. Do you plan to fight with only your bare hands? Do you not need a weapon?
Weapon, right. Hey, Leroy, what are you doing? This isn't funny, Leroy.
Johnny, I'm sorry. I must do this alone.
Leroy! Leroy, come back here! Leroy, come back here! Leroy!
That the kid though, he was a Ninja Turtle at one point. He was in Surf Ninjas. He was in the movie The Rundown as the littlest martial artist versus the biggest rock.
Oh my god. Okay, so
in Brazil, and he's doing the flipping with the reeds and stuff. I don't know the have you seen The Rundown?
No.
Oh, it's actually not terrible. It's not a movie for what did we just watch, because it's not weird enough. But it's an action movie and it's pretty fun. You have this really short martial artist versus Rock, who's giant. So that's where the kid started, was there. And then he did a TV show called Sidekicks.
He's really
good. Yeah, pretty funny. And the guy that he was beating up, almost all of the scenes beating up that guy in the camouflage, that was his dad.
So I had no idea, yeah.
They had this little choreography worked out, so he's like beating up on this dude.
Mm. Oh, that was cute.
Yeah. That's his dad.
We forgot El DeBarge is on the soundtrack. Famous song, Rhythm of the Night.
Yeah, Rhythm of the Night, when I was a kid, I used to listen to that thing also. I was big into this kind of music up until Bat Dance from Prince. But previously, it was just like El DeBarge and hip-hop, 80s hip-hop stuff. Yeah. But I still like that El DeBarge song. It's pretty great.
Was that the original video?
Yeah.
I mean, they played most of the majority.
They show the clips in the movie of that music video that had already been produced. But it was a decent hit, and they wanted to just further that.
Was this before like MTV music videos?
Not before.
It was like it was during. Okay, so that's why I was like, you know, having trouble with the time. I didn't know when this movie was
Yeah,
made,
this movie
so...
didn't acknowledge MTV at all, which is strange to me. But
it was more of a like American Bandstand.
American
sort of
Bandstand or Soul Train.
Soul Train. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking about. It's like Soul Train.
Or the Apollo
videos.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Those were still shows during MTV. Yeah. So, big confrontation at the end, obviously. We want you to watch the movie. I don't know if it's on any of the streaming devices, but there's a Blu-ray of it out.
Yeah.
I feel like getting the Blu-ray. We watched the DVD. But I feel like getting the Blu-ray because I just have to look at that glow in high def.
In high def. I was actually surprised by those effects. I don't know why. Even to me, even now, I'm like, that's cool. Like,
no, it was really cool to me. The most cool to me, and I honestly think Shownuff's glow is much better.
The red hands?
The red hands, and whenever he hit him, it's all animation. It's rotoscoped animation, so nerds out there probably know what I'm talking about. It's just like Disney-style cell animation over, but it's like the airbrush glow. It casts shadows when he hit him, and all that. It was really neat. I really, really like that. But when Leroy glows, it's just a golden glow, not red. I mean, partial to red. But the glow that he had wasn't as dynamic. I guess maybe that's the point, because it's like more peaceful or whatever.
Maybe.
I think if you want to go out with like a bang, you gotta have like a pretty like Super Mario, like you just grab the star, like super mode, like
right. They want to remake this movie. For many years, they've been saying this movie is in production, and they had Samuel L. Jackson as Shownuff cast. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's even a good idea to have that, because he's an older man now. And who would they cast, if you could, if you know, who would you cast in the lead role now? I mean, sadly, there aren't a lot of known, I suppose, minority actors right now.
I'm not even sure. What about martial artists? Like, I don't know, modern-day martial artists.
Michael Jai White, I could see him being shown up. He's the guy who did Black Dynamite.
I don't know, I hope they would focus more on like that part. Like, and then just go full on.
With the crazy martial arts.
Yeah, because I mean, everything else was like, you know, it was funny, and, you know, but there was not enough martial arts.
You're right,
there's
not. No, you're right.
Long sequences of.
Watching the movie this time, it showed basically just the satire and commentary. Mm-hmm. Then when I was a kid, I was like, oh, cool, martial arts, caught a bullet, oh, cool. And he like does nunchuck stuff and whatever, but there really not a lot of sequences of that.
I think that's my major problem with like the glow in particular, because there's not enough setup. You know that you should be rooting for Bruce Leroy.
Yeah.
But there's not enough in his character to like make you like, to like put you over that edge of like, you really want him to succeed. For me, I'm more interested in how bad of a villain Shownuff is.
Right.
Like,
how,
so,
how he got to that point.
Right. So
you want a Phantom Menace situation here?
No.
The origins.
No, that's not really what I'm saying. It's like Shownuff is presented as a bigger bad guy than Bruce Leroy is presented as a good guy.
Right. He's kind of milquetoast.
Yeah, so I would like to see the character more developed.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the glow, it happens, and I'm just kind of like, okay.
Okay, that happened. That's the part of the movie where that's supposed to happen. That happened.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't like that long of a thing either. And it's just kind of like after it was over, it's like, okay, and then I happened to this guy and...
You know, I'd really like to see Edgar Wright take on this story. Think about it. He did Scott Pilgrim, and what he did with Scott Pilgrim, the stylistic things that he did with Scott Pilgrim, he could do with a martial arts story like this and really focus on, and also broaden the diversity of who he casts in his movie, which hasn't been a problem because Stanley, but whatever. This movie would be mostly minorities, Asians, and so on. But I don't know if this movie could ever be made now.
I don't know, yeah, because it's like, what, back then, it wasn't that, like, it's just a different thing. I think now...
The sensitivity now.
The sensitivity, yeah. And then, like, because now people with, like, the Ghostbusters, like, the female Ghostbusters and this and that, it's like, does it even matter anymore? I mean... cultural
I think satire should be allowed to be satire.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, it's not the movie's problem, it's your problem. If you don't understand the satire, educate yourself about it. Maybe you'll find it funny, maybe you still won't, but if it's satire, let it be.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy the satire in this movie. I actually realize more of it now.
So I wanted to mention Roger Ebert.
Oh yeah,
and his review of this film from 1985. The exact quote is, "It's so entertaining that I could almost recommend it."
Yeah,
I think that's how I feel about it too.
Yeah, recommend. I step forward and I say, yeah, do watch it. Most of the movies that we do on What Have You Just Watched are Saturday afternoon or lazy weekend movies. Mm-hmm. Lazy weekend afternoon movies. You watch them, you might not care too much about it. You might fall asleep during it. You might fall asleep during the boring part and then wake up during the an exciting part and be like, what did I just miss? And then you like realize you didn't just miss anything. And it's just some crazy weird stuff that's happening. But so this, I believe this fits that.
Yeah. What Ebert hated about this film was what he called the gangster parts.
The mafia stuff. Yeah. Eddie Arcadian.
Yeah. He was like, this is totally unnecessary and takes away from the film.
Mostly. The part that is amazing, it's like a stage play where Eddie and his mistress, girlfriend, whatever, have an argument. And it is incredibly well performed. She is so believable. Everything is correct. And the lines, he says these lines, and then she turns those lines back at him in the most clever of way.
You know, to tell you the truth, Eddie, I'm really getting tired of all this. I mean, that DJ lady, she's never gonna play our stuff anyway.
She'll see the light since I get that Leroy character out of the way.
Oh, I don't want you to kill anybody.
Are you out of your mind? Nobody does what he did to me and lives. Nobody!
You know what I've been thinking, Eddie? I've been thinking that maybe you're trying to use me to get what you want. All this glamour and stardom, it's all for you, isn't it, Eddie?
Now, if you're unhappy with all of this, why don't you just walk out? Go have a nice, normal, boring life.
Well, to tell you the truth, Eddie, it couldn't be any more boring than hanging around here with all this gook in my hair while you guys go play cops and robbers.
Where you gonna go, Angie? Without me, you're nothing. Without that outfit, you're just another no-talent dental hygiene school dropout from Kew Gardens getting by on her tits.
And in the end, Eddie, you know what? You're nothing but a misguided midget asshole with dreams of ruining the world. Yeah, also from Kew Gardens. And also getting by on my tits.
We're like, oh, snap!
Yeah, snap. I think that's what we all said after that performance. Like, oh,
it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and that was like, whoa, wait, where did this performance come from?
This is like really amazingly heartfelt speech.
Yeah, I was really impressed this time as well.
It just...
And you don't really expect it to come out of that character either.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Because she's like kind of like this airhead, bubbly, yeah.
Little poodle of a lady.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Music. That's another thing that I
want
to point out.
It's kind of cute.
Like, what was the name, Dirty Books?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like, really? I was like trying to listen to the lyrics. I mean, Dirty Boy.
Now that I have seen it all, you want me to participate? It dressed me up in peekaboos.
You bought it.
We also like mentioned transition from like the Vanity song to about like, what is she even saying? Like, I can't, I mean, it was just kind of like ad lib, just words kind of mashed together and like, where did it come up? And listening to Dirty Books, and I was like listening to those, and I'm like, oh God, like, no.
So I think those two musical things, that Vanity's music on the show and then her weird music videos and so on, those are juxtaposed against each other. That's why they're so, I don't think that they had it in them to have a hit at all. Yeah. But they still made a legit song each of those songs that they did for
her name's Angie.
Angie's ditzy songs were still legitimately long. So they're written and finished and completed though.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of time. So to compose those.
So you kind of recommend this, Albie?
I recommend this if you are looking for a cool Halloween costume.
Oh yeah, right. This movie's full of
One thing about everybody's costume is that it reminded me of that. If you looked at packaging and promotional materials for Nintendo video games back then, or even arcade games, or the artwork on the side of the arcade boxes, River City Rampage, stuff like this, how the characters that you're supposed to be punching are dressed. That's how everybody in this movie is. There's a variation of that. That kind of character design. Especially in the big fight scene at the end. They all look like G.I. Joe characters.
Yeah.
With their crazy shoulder pads and whatever.
Yeah, the football pads. Show enough had like a bajillion different outfits.
Every time he shows up, he's got different versions of his shoulder
pads. Yeah, it's just having, I guess, just kind of make him seem a little more grander than.
And I never realized how tall Shonuff was.
You were mentioning how he's like really tall and lanky. The arms.
He had the coolest way of holding his hands. Bring it back to the glow. He had the coolest way of holding his hands. They were just neat, and they lended themselves to a good silhouette, which is what they needed with the glow to make it work. It's good. And you, would you recommend it?
I would recommend it only because I found it actually pretty funny. I thought it was going to be just all like action-packed for some reason. It was like, okay, martial arts, kind of whatever. I didn't know too much about it, so when I actually watched it, and I was like, this is really funny. Like, this has really like interesting moments. But yeah, less so about the martial arts. I would just because, it was just funny, entertaining. But yeah, visually, it was also kind of interesting to me with the costume. And then the music on top of everything was a little weird, but I liked it overall.
It's not the weirdest we've covered.
It's not the weirdest.
But it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, all right. Last Dragon, indeed. Let's do it. Obviously, I recommend it. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Albie.
Thanks.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. I thought it was going to be like more grand than that.